Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Well, I invite you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. We'll read verses 25 through 34. Our sermon title today is A Jailhouse Conversion. Now, in the past, last year, when I reached a jailhouse section of the scripture, I wrote a sermon for the prisoners of the Kent and Ottawa County jails. And I've done it again today. One reason why is the chaplain told me, Pastor, that was a wonderful sermon last year. It was from the life of Joseph. But it was 42 minutes long, Pastor. And they don't let you preach that long in jail. They let me do it that long last time. But clearly, I had breached decorum. So this one's going to be shorter. So you teenagers, would you time me today? And then you let me know how long Pastor went. We'll see if I make it when I preach it at jail. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 34. Listen closely. This is God's holy word. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. So ends the reading of God's word. Let's pause now for a prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray you would bless your word read, now preach to all in its hearing. We pray for those who may be listening online. We pray, O Lord, for those to whom this message will be preached in the coming months at the Ottawa County and Kent County Jail. We pray, O Lord, that you would give us your grace to receive your word with joy as the Philippian jailer received Christ in like fashion. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and let us say, amen. Do you believe in jailhouse conversions? Someone quickly changing their religion when in jail? Or are the inmates just trying to feel better? Get it a little easier. Maybe trick the judge into leniency during sentencing. Can people sincerely find God in jail? Well, the Bible says yes. And that's good news. People can find God in prison. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be very hard. Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." You see, some people who find God in jail are fakers. They never found it. Some people who find God in jail are quitters. They quit after they get out. That's one reason why finding God in jail is so hard. Many say they do it, few do. It can almost make you skeptical. How could I find God in jail? Well, here is the good news. Firstly, you can walk with God in prison. Paul and Silas walked with God in prison. Paul was a Christian and Silas was a Christian. Jesus had told Paul years back to repent of his sins in a vision. And in the book of Acts, we see Paul's answer, two words, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Then he served the Lord as a traveling preacher, and that got him thrown in jail. But he walked with God in prison. How can you tell when someone walks with God in prison? Well, first, you can tell because he praised God by singing and praying in prison. Can I tell you something? It took me many years to learn this. Sometimes we sing because we believe. And other times we sing until we believe. Paul was singing because he believed. He sang earlier, we read it, songs, hymns, and spiritual songs from his heart at all times. He took his own advice. This time he sang at midnight. He remembered the Psalter of his childhood, Psalm 119, verse 62. At midnight, I raised to give you thanks for your righteous laws. Would you please listen to me? Praise is a powerful weapon against evil. It is. Psalm 22:3 says, God inhabits the praises of his people. That's why the devil cannot stand your prayers and your praises of God in prison. The devil flees in the presence of God in the praises of his people. And so firstly, Paul praises God by singing and praying. The devil flees and the prisoners notice. Secondly, he walked with God in prison by holding no grudges. Can I tell you a fun definition of grudges? Holding a grudge is letting someone live rent-free in your head. Paul held no grudges, not even against his prison guard. In fact, this is what Paul did. He writes about it in Ephesians 5:31. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving one another just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, in response to Paul's prayers and praises and singing, God sent an earthquake, and it was a miracle, a capital M miracle. The prison shook, the doors flew open, the chains fell off, and nobody died. It was a crazy miracle, if you think about it. God did it. And at the end of this miracle, every prisoner was free to go, but nobody moved. Because Paul had no plans of getting that guard into trouble. Men, what would you do if your guard were in trouble? If he were in danger, what would you do? How you treat your guard shows if you're walking with God. And so Paul walked prison's path, secondly, by holding no grudges against his guard. Thirdly, he walked with God in prison by sharing the gospel with anyone who asked. Someone once told me this, Steve, keep it simple. Keep it joyful and keep it real. I really like that. And we see Paul doing that. Paul shares the gospel simply. When someone asks Paul how to get saved in prison, he says, well, he actually says our memory verse. That's why we're learning it. You'll find it on your connection card, top right-hand corner. He says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Very simple. Now, other times when Paul is preaching, he says another simple word. He says the word repent. Because from time to time, you run into some really hard-hearted people, and that's the first word they need to hear. Repent. Change your ways. Other times in the book of Acts, when Paul is preaching, the very simple message he says is, get baptized. Because you need to join the church when you follow Jesus. Other times, like this time, he says believe. But they're all related. They're all the different side of the same coin. The coin is Jesus. On one side of the coin, we believe in Jesus. On the other side of the coin, we repent from following the world, the flesh, and the devil to follow Jesus. And on another side of this three-sided coin, we get baptized into the name of Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The key thing is it's all about Jesus. Keep it simple. What he has done and who he is, he tells them about Jesus. So let's pause to recap. You can tell people are walking sincerely with God in prison or outside of prison when they're praising God, when they're holding no grudges, and when they share the gospel simply. Jesus. Let me pause to tell you about a man named Chuck Colson. Chuck Colson's a hero of many. He's the founder of a wonderful Christian ministry called Prison Fellowship. He was converted after he committed his crime and before he went to jail. And he wrote about it in a book called Born Again. Listen to what he said. I find myself increasingly drawn to the idea that God had put me in prison for a purpose and that I should do something for those I had left behind. This brings us to our second point. You can help other people see the light in prison. You can. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's why Hebrews 3:13 commands us with these words, continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. Prisoners can actually see the light through you in prison. But in this instance, it's interesting. It's the prison guard who sees the light. The prison guard. Our prison guard saw the light firstly, saw the light of Jesus firstly, when he was at the end of his rope. Let me tell you an old pastor trick. We learned this over the decades. Do you know that God often works with people when they're at the end of their rope? It's rare that I get the call in the middle of the night, Pastor, life's going so great, I just wanted you to tell me about the Lord. I call this the three T's. When people are in trouble, or under tension, or in transition, God just might be at work. Keep your eyes open. Well, you can imagine which one of the T's afflicted the Philippian jailer. He was in trouble. Under the code of Justinian, Roman guards must be executed when prisoners escape, period. Well, the guard thought the prisoners had escaped. And so he pulled out his sword and he was about to kill himself. I need to stop and teach you one fact I bet you don't know. Do you know that 10% of American prison guards say they've considered or attempted suicide? It's very high. In fact, statistics tell us that it's even higher for retired guards, 14%. Very much like veterans suffering from PTSD. And you know what they're telling us, according to the New York Post? The job made me do it. They get depressed because of all the violence they see, the daily danger they feel, and the trauma they keep bottled up inside and won't talk about to anyone. Guards are people too. They have a family. They have a life. They have hopes and dreams. Your conduct can shine light of Jesus upon them and literally save a life. The guards saw the light at the end of the rope. Secondly, what's thrilling, our guard saw the light of Jesus and it changed his behavior. Notice what our jailer does the moment, the very minute he got saved. He washed the prisoner's wounds. He, in this earthquake prison, he took them home. He fed them a meal. And he did it with joy. That's what saved Christians do. It's a very simple descriptor of a Christian. They feed the hungry. They care for the sick. They open their lives and their homes and hospitality, and they do it not reluctantly, but cheerfully with joy. Loving our neighbor is the true sign, bar none, of loving God. What we do to the least of these, we do unto him. And finally, he saw the light of Jesus. Listen to me closely now. He saw the light of Jesus by leading his family to God. Man, if you find the Lord in prison, if you find Jesus Christ by faith in prison, then bring your family to God. It's the greatest thing you can do in this earthly life. The jailer did. He brought the preacher to his family at midnight so that they could hear the word of God. Sit there and listen to this man. And then the man said, "Family, we're joining the church." He got baptized. She got baptized. They all got baptized. Dad, take your family to church. Here are some special words from a father-like figure and hero of mine, the late Reverend Billy Graham. In a 1955 sermon called "The Responsibility of Parents," this is what he says: "Parents, take time with your children. Not only do children require a great deal of time, but they long for it. And give them moral and spiritual principles for life. Show them what a life well lived feels like. And set your children a good example. Many parents preach, but not many set the example. Plan activities for your children. Make home so interesting and delightful that your children want to be there. Discipline your children. Children are going to be in society what they are in home. And finally, teach your children to know God and bring them up in the church." So let me close. Do you believe in jailhouse conversions? Well, the good news is the Bible does. The Bible says you can walk with God in prison and you can help others see the light in prison. But conversion, listen to me closely, conversion is the first step, not the last. When you get out, you've got to find a good church that week and go to it. You've got to find a pastor and you connect with the pastor and you say, "Pastor, I'm out and I want to stay out. Please help me." Then hang out with faith-friendly and family-friendly people. And by all means, bring your family along. Bring your kids along. Bring your wife, bring your girlfriend, bring whoever along. That will be the difference between knowing your maker or becoming a faker. And let us all agree by saying, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's a lamp to our feet and light to our path. We pause now to pray that you would help us to know we can walk with God at all times and be a light for Christ at all times. Pray, Lord, for the men and women of the Kent and Ottawa County jails. We pray that you would bless them with this, your word. We pray you would also bless us with this, your word. We confess, O Lord, as we have heard in your word, that it is very easy to hold a grudge. It is very easy to look at those around us and see them as the problem, not as us. It's easy to lose our prayer life and our singing life and allow evil to rise rather than to call it out for what it is. We pray, O Lord, that we would hold on to the simple gospel, which is Jesus, Jesus alone. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would watch over prison guards. We thank you for their service to society. We know, O Lord, that we ask them to bear burdens not borne by many. And we pray that they would find a way to voice their thought life in safe places with others. We pray, O Lord, that you would strengthen them, that you would keep them, that you would support them. Thank you, O Lord, for the many blessings of loving and serving the prisoners and those who staff their facilities. Be with us now as a church as we continue to pray for and minister with those behind bars and those released. We humbly ask these things in Jesus' name, and let us all say, Amen. This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.